Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel of Mark again, as is our usual habit, and having a look at chapter 10. But before we read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word, which is rich and true. We ask that you would use it to nourish us, that we might know your truth, and that we might delight in it. Help us to see clearly what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 1 to 12. And he left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And Pharisees came up and, in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore a man shall leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Well, divorce is a sin. I'm sorry if that's hard for you to hear. It's hard for our culture to hear that, where I think something like 2 out of 3 marriages end in divorce now. But divorce is a sin. In fact, in the Old Testament, the Bible says God hates divorce. What is going on? Why is it that divorce is sin, when in fact in the Christian evangelical church, divorce is actually sadly normal? Is divorce a sin, or is divorce just a not great outcome? How do we understand divorce? Well, Jesus interacts with that very question, doesn't he? He interacts with the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees come to trap him. And they trap him with this question, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Now notice that they don't say, "Is it wrong to divorce your wife?" They don't say, "Is it sinful to divorce your wife?" But they say, "Is it lawful to divorce your wife?" Why? Why do they put the question that way? Well, the reason they put it that way is that they know that divorce is wrong. They know that divorce is sinful. They know that God doesn't love divorce, that God hates divorce. They know all those things. But they ask it this particular way because they seek to trap Jesus. And they know that Moses made allowances. And so they ask the question, "Is it lawful?" Now, if Jesus turns around and says, "Well, yes, because Moses allowed it," then they might turn around and try and snap him and say, got him, because that's not what God wanted. This man doesn't honor God. Or if he had answered it the other way and just said, "Well, divorce is wrong because Adam and Eve in the garden, etc., etc., then they might have said, "Aha, he doesn't care about God's law." And so it's a trap. But Jesus very smartly asks them the question, "What does Moses' law say?" Moses' law says it's acceptable for you to divorce someone. And Jesus replies with something that's absolutely fascinating. He says to them, it's because of your hardness of heart that, excuse me, that he gave this commandment. Why? What does he mean by that? Well, what he means by that is, it's because of your sin. It was because of the sin of human hearts that he gave this law. In other words, knowing full well that men and women would sin and treat one another wrongly, Moses gave this law to control a practice that was already happening. People were already divorcing their wife. Divorce, it's not like divorce didn't exist until Moses came along and said, well, hey, there's this great thing called divorce. No. People were putting away wives left, right, and center. And so God, in his love, regulated it to try and to stop the damage happening, to put some boundaries in place. But then Jesus drives home the real point. He says, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined, let no one separate. So what's Jesus' point here? Well, it's pretty clear, isn't it? There's one man, there's one woman, they get married. They are no longer two people living together. They're not two individuals in a relationship. They're not two individuals in a marital relationship. They're not two individuals in a contract bringing 50% each so that they can work together. They are one. They were two. They are now one. There is now one individual in the relationship. It's just one person. Now, that is fundamental to understanding why divorce is so abhorrent to God. Because in the union of marriage, God does something spiritual and something good. He joins two lonely, remember it's not good to be alone, two lonely people. He joins them together into one so that they would be one complete person having everything they need together in wonderful complementarian joy. And then man comes along and says, you know what? I want to live by myself. I don't want you anymore. Now, notice the problem with that. If the two are one, if there's just one person, and one of those people says, I, well, that's both of them, because there's only one person. There is no I and you. There's just us. There's just we. There's just I. There is only the first person for both of them together. And so divorce is such an abhorrent thing to God because you are severing something glorious that he has created to complete two individuals into one. Now, I do want to note something here. Jesus is not talking about whether divorce happens. Jesus is not talking about whether divorce and remarriage is something that can ever happen. Jesus is talking about the heart of marriage. The heart of marriage. Now, if you want to enter into a discussion as to whether it's acceptable for people to get divorced and get remarried in certain situations, we can do that. Providing we lay the foundation, that marriage is for life, that divorce is sin. See, you need to start by accepting that. You need to start by accepting that God created marriage for one man and one woman to come together and be one. And that to sever that at all is sin. Now, the discussion of whether remarriage is right or wrong, that's a different discussion. And we can have that, but as long as we can agree that marriage is something that can't be broken, and that to break it is sin. And that's the point when Jesus answers his disciples very briefly, because we're running out of time. He says to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. What's the point? Well, the point is, marriage is one man, one woman, together becoming one. And if he now casts her away and goes off and gets remarried, he's committing adultery. It makes no difference that he's now with a new wife. He's committing adultery because he's joined to her. So you could say he goes and gets remarried and he takes her with him because the two become one. And likewise on the other side. We must, in our generation, hold up marriage with high regard. It's one of the things the church has failed to do in the last 50 to 100 years, is to hold up the sanctity of marriage with vigor and passion and zeal as a wonderful God-glorifying reality, and grieve with brokenness when it falls apart in a sinful and broken world. But let us rejoice in it. And when the world runs off and seeks to do broken things in marital relationships, let us call them back to the truth of God's word, to what God established. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this teaching. It's a hard teaching for some of us. And we pray that you would help us to see your truth and to hold up the sanctity of marriage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me for another day. I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon.